Good morning, blessed ones. Turn to someone and tell them, you are the beloved one. You are magnificent. You are outstanding. You are a byproduct of the Most High. Yes. We have to claim who we are. Thank you. And then touch and agree. If I see it for me, I'm going to see it for you. If you see it for me, I see it for you. It's a beautiful thing. So here we are on another Sunday. And I was just thinking about how I come up with my talk titles or my topics, and people always ask, well, how do you get that, or and what's the process? You know, it could be a Friday morning or a Thursday morning or Friday morning, and I said to my mom, I got to go upstairs and work on my talk title. But there's a process, right? And it's interesting because it's never the same. Sometimes it could be a word or a phrase that I've heard during the week, you know, or something that I hear that speaks to me, and I, wow, oh, yes. Other times it may be something that I read. Maybe I've read something, or I saw a poster, or something on Facebook, and I go, wow, yes, that speaks to me. That's catching my thoughts, and it takes me on a journey. Sometimes I simply get direct downloads where, you know, boom, there's the talk. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to say, and bump, and I just, whoa. Can't keep up with it. It just downloads. Sometimes I'm directed to a particular scripture that I hear. And that was the case for this morning's message. I have an app on the Bible, a Bible app, that gives me a daily scripture every day that I read in the morning. And it just comes up, you know, it pops up, it dings, and there it is on my phone. So whenever it dings, I just look at it and I read whatever the scripture is for that morning. And I like it because I don't have to go get a book or whatever, because the phone is always with me, right? You know how that is. I hear a ding. It's like, oh, let me see who's dinging me. Oh, God is dinging me. All right. Wonderful. So God dings me with a message, right? A scripture. And so Friday's scripture was a familiar one, and it's one that I have, you know, talked about and given over my 33 years of ministry. I've done it before. I know it. I'm very familiar with it. But what stuck out about me with this particular scripture was that later on, maybe an hour or two later, I saw that a congregant had posted the very same scripture. So I was like, when that happens, I was like, And I'm trying to figure out my direction. Maybe, perhaps, that is where Spirit wants me to take the message today. See, it's a synchronicity. Someone might say it's a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine connections, that Spirit is speaking through me in many ways. And so I said, oh, okay, that was my scripture this morning. I go on to a congregant's post, and they posted the same scripture. A light bulb goes off. Ah, perhaps that is the message. Let me read the scripture more deep. Let me see what's in it, and perhaps that is the message for this morning. And the scripture comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And I always say that, you know, if you want to know what the teachings of Jesus as the Christ was, just read the Sermon on the Mount. All you need to read is Matthew 5, 6, 7, and you got the whole kit and caboodle. Because he lays it out. This is what happens. This is the Lord. Do this. If you do that, he gives you the Beatitudes at the beginning. But also, you know, other things about how we should handle life, anger, people. It's all there. And so this one comes from Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. And as usual, you know, I like to read several versions. That's the only reason I carry this big old heavy Bible around, because it has four translations in it. But I want to start reading from the New Living Translation. And this is Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And you can enter God's kingdom Only through the narrow gate, the highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. King James says it this way: enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And then from the Message, you know, the Message always just breaks it down. The Message says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Very clear. This particular scripture is called the narrow gate. The narrow gate. Now, as I was trying to contemplate, when I get a scripture, I'm like, okay, let me meditate and see what the message might bring and what is Spirit trying to get us to see. And I think it's because we are living in such challenging times that we all might want to somehow be more comfortable in having to deal with the difficult aspects of life, you know, because everybody really wants to find the easy path. Or we really, most people, almost everybody, I should say, but most people want to be free from challenges and free from problems and free from conflicts and free from suffering or pain of any kind. We just simply want to live the good life. I just want to have a good life. I just want to live a good life, to be successful in my life, to have my needs met, to have everything that I need, and to have it and live it with grace and ease. That's what we really want. That's one of my favorite phrases. Grace and ease. Because I want to live life with grace and ease. Is there anybody here who would not use, doesn't want a little grace and a little ease? We want that, right? That's my favorite thing. I want to do it. If I got to do it, then Lord, let me do it with some grace and ease. But the truth of the matter is that the times that we are living in right now are calling for something a little different. The times are now calling for grace and effort. Grace and effort. Because we have work to do. We might be looking for the easy road, but you can't look for the easy road alone, because that's no longer going to cut it. Almost everybody's looking for that way. Everybody's looking for that road. But there is a different way. There is a different way. And it may not be as popular as the easy way. It may not be as desirous as the easy way is. In fact, some people might call it, not you people here, I know, but some people might call this way that I'm talking about the hokey way. It's a little hokey. We call it the holy way. There's a holy way to live. There's a holy way to experience life. Not necessarily hokey, but others who don't understand it might call it hokey. When we say, no. It's the holy way. That is that way in which we're going to bring God into the mix of everything that we do. We're going to bring God into this wonderful way where we're using spiritual principles and spiritual laws. That's the way we're going to use. It's called the narrow way. It's a narrow way, and few people really understand this spiritual way, this spiritual dynamic. Few people understand it, and few people understand how to use its power effectively. See, Jesus understood how to use the power of spiritual principles and spiritual laws. And so much so that he could use it, so what he did seemed miraculous. But it wasn't miraculous. It was him simply using spiritual laws and knowing how to apply that and seeing himself as one with these laws, one with God. But other people may not understand that the way of the Spirit is actually the way of life. The way of the Spirit is a holy way and not necessarily a narrow way or not necessarily a negative way, but it's a narrow way. And he's saying, look, I'm going to show you the way. I found the way. Says, what is that? That's backwards. But it says, I am the way. The I am in you is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I found something here. I have something that if you follow me, we can get to this good life, this abundant life, this full life, this miraculous life, this overcoming life. I found the way. Where you can have overcoming power and transformative energy and the ability to manifest out of the invisible, to feed 5,000 people, to heal the lame and cure the blind. Oh, I found a way. But it's not a way that's for everybody. It's not the easy way, but it is the only way, the holy way to have this thing called life. And it's a narrow gate that gets you there. And only a few people will find it. Or as the scripture says, only a few people choose it. We don't choose this way. Only a few people will choose it. And maybe that's because it's a little bit more challenging than the easy road. It's a little bit more challenging because you might have to give up a few things that will feel natural to the human condition. See, we're spiritual beings, but we're having what? A human experience. And in this human experience, there are certain things that appeal to the human nature. But when we are coming from our spiritual selves, we might have to give up things that feel natural to our human nature. We have to do things perhaps a little differently. We may have to take the high road. You may have to take the high road when others do you wrong. It might not be easy to do that. But you may be called to do that, you see? You really don't want to take the high road sometimes when people do you wrong. You want to take the low road because you want to fight fire with fire, right? You do this to, this is human nature. You do this to me, I'm going to do that to you. You fight me with fire, I'm going to fight you with fire. And all you have is more what? Fire. But if I fight you with some water, the living waters of truth, guess what? I'm going to put out your fire. Or your fire will not come nigh unto me. I got to fight with a different energy, a different vibration, a different element of life. I'm not going to choose the fire with that low vibration, but the low vibration can be appealing. It can have a little energy, right? Because it appeals to perhaps the lower qualities in our human nature. And we might not want them. It says when they go low, you might not want to go high. I'm telling the truth. But if you choose that, if you do choose to go high when they go low, and when you choose the more spiritual and principled way, you're going to be blessed in the end. Blessed by that choice. Now, here's the thing. The benefits and the blessings of you choosing the highway and the higher road or whatever it is, it may not always be obvious to you. Because you might say, what do you mean? When they hit me, I'm just supposed to stand there and take it and blah, 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 blah. No. You want me to just forgive? That doesn't seem to be obvious that it's going to lead to a blessing. But here's the thing, friends. Don't look for the obvious. Don't look, because we're talking about a whole new reality, a different way, a different road, a different vibration, a different seeing, right? And as you begin to move beyond what seems obvious, as you begin to transcend the human nature and you choose the more as the Bible calls it, the more excellent way, as you choose the spiritual way, the spiritual principles, you will begin, even in the face of the odds that are against you, you still take that higher choice, make that higher decision. Eventually, what happens is you do that on a consistent basis. You will begin to grow inwardly, and you will begin to grow in spiritual power and in spiritual energy. It's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you begin to grow in its power and effect. The reason people don't think that spirituality has any power is because they don't use it. They're not familiar with it. It's not a road they travel on. But when you begin to travel on that road and to make these high choices and to take the high road when someone's bringing low energy and low vibration, as you begin to do it, you begin to grow so that eventually spirit then begins to reign in your life. There's an accumulation. This is what we mean by being prayed up. When you start coming from that higher vibration all the time and consistently, or as consistent as you can remind yourself to be, all of a sudden that vibration begins to live in you. It begins to vibrate from you. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a power that you didn't recognize that you had. It'll be a power to transform a situation just through your words. It'll be a power to transform that situation through your presence. People might not be able to even come into your presence with no mess anymore, because you're vibrating at a different level. You see? So they might say, "Ooh, I don't want to mess with that one. I'm going over here." Because you'll be entirely different. So this is the thing. Grace and ease is great, but grace and effort will eventually lead you to grace and ease. So we have to be willing to put forth the effort to build our spiritual muscle. Someone's prayer was they wanted to be more consistent, and the only way to be more consistent is to be consistent. That's what it takes. Right? It's the effort that you have to put into it. You got to be willing to do this inner work, to make the higher choices, to take the road less traveled. Everybody's going to be going down this road. So what? That might be the way that's broad and people are choosing it, but it leads to hell and destruction. The narrow gate, the narrow way might feel like a little challenge in the beginning, but don't mind that. Don't mind that, because as you move through your challenges, see, when you move through your challenges, you gain what? Strength. Right? The more breakthroughs you have less breakdowns. So you keep moving, you keep at it, you keep building that spiritual energy and muscle to the point where all of a sudden grace and my effort leads to grace and ease. Then I know what I'm doing. I'm taking the road less traveled. I've been watching the political debates, as many of you have. And one candidate, whom I won't name names, but we know whom, but this candidate put forth a notion into the political narrative that our system and our way of being and our way of living could actually be more effective if we somehow could infuse love into the systems. If we could somehow muster up more compassion for everybody, if we could somehow bring more economic balance to the way in which we're living, so that all of a sudden that more people could be blessed economically, right? Or if we were to give more attention to the earth and protect it more, that life would be different and better for all of us. And there are many who understand that way and those teachings, right? Many of us here would say, yes, we value those things, and that could really shift and change the political dynamic of our nation and the world. We get that. We see the value. It could lead to greater good for all concerned. But there are many, 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 many who think those ideas are fringe ideas, who somehow think that those ideas are on the edge, that they're a bit kooky, that they're somehow out there, that they're fine, they're cute ideas, but they don't have any place on our national stage of leadership. They're good ideas, but you can't lead a nation with love. You can't lead a nation through peace. You can't change, tell Gandhi, you can't change a whole nation through nonviolence. Right? So somehow these ideas seem good, but not, or only here, separate and apart. And that is because they don't have an understanding of the presence and power of these ideas at work. They don't understand the greater reality, as if somehow the system that we have now is really leading us into a world that works for all, right? It's leading us into more care for our earth. It's leading us into greater wages so that everybody can have just a decent earning capacity to feed their children. They don't have to wait 3, 4, 5 jobs just to eke out a living. Oh, like the system we have now is so that people don't have to go without health care. All of a sudden, our healthcare system is working. I just saw where they don't even have enough EpiPens for children to have that need to have them because the price is so exorbitant. And, you know, the pharmaceuticals will hold back a certain thing to make the demand, what, greater and higher. What kind of nonsense is that? You see? So we think that somehow acceptance of others, allowing everybody to live a good life, is somehow wrong. So things are skewed. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who go in by it. Somehow or another, that thinking, whether it's fear, I got to get mine, so you can, you know, I better get mine before you try to get mine. That thinking that there's not enough resources on this planet to feed everybody, to house everybody, to clothe, if there is enough. But that thought that says there's not enough, I must what covered mine. I must not only covered mine, but I might even have to take yours. That is the broad way that leads to destruction. Thoughts of scarcity, thoughts of fear, thoughts of difference, thoughts of separation, thoughts of, territorial nature. All that is the broad way. The narrow way, the narrow gate is different. Choosing to love when you really have an inclination to hate, that's the narrow gate, right? Stepping out on faith when you can't see the road ahead of you, that's the narrow gate, right? All of a sudden, moving into getting up a half an hour earlier so that you can meditate and be still on a daily committed basis. That's the narrow gate. Everybody's not going to follow that way. Right? All of this. How do we approach life? How do we move into who we are? Believing in the power of your thoughts to change things in your situation when others think, oh, that's just hokey thinking. That's the narrow gate. Being willing to stand on your principles when everybody else around you is looking out for your little cray-cray. That's the narrow gate, right? That's the narrow gate. Listening to the still small voice for your guidance and directions, that's the narrow gate. See, there is a reality to this spiritual realm. I know it because I've glimpsed it, I've touched it, I've moved into it. I've had experiences that cannot be explained by the literal expression of life. I know it's real. Sometimes you only know something is real when you have the inner experience of it. But there is a realm beyond the veil. There's a realm beyond appearances. And that is more real than anything that you might see out here. God is more real, and God is invisible. But God is more real than anything you can see out here. The spiritual realm has more power in it than anything that you can do and see and experience out here. There's something moving that can move you through time and space. There's something that can move you beyond to the miraculous. There's something that can cure the incurable. There's something that you can't see, right, that can bring you into the fullness of life, that can overcome a diagnosis, that can bring synchronicities, people, places, and things at the very moment you need it. Just when you were praying, Father, help me, and bam, it's there. When there's a way made out of no way. When you're in a country road in front of your grandmother's house and your car is stuck in the mud, and a guy comes by on a back country road with a tow truck, gets out of the car, hooks your car up to the tow truck, doesn't say a word to you, and moves your car out into the road. And when you go to cry to, hey, thank whatever, gets in the car and drives away. That's a realm that's beyond the veil. Those kinds of things, when we are in the vibration of God, the miraculous is ordinary for us. The difficult is nothing. It's a piece of cake for God. So we have to move ourselves into a whole different mindset. I remember this, I was reading the other day too with this individual who is running for office, and the hurricane was coming, and put out a tweet that people should pray for the diversion of the hurricane to go off. And people began again to make fun of that and thought it was kooky, so they took it down. But you know what? There's power in that thought. That is power in that thought. When I was at Unity Village and there was a tornado coming and it was heading directly for Unity Village, and Unity Village also houses Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry that prays for everybody. Those people said, we're going to get together. They got together and decided that the tornado would not come here, and the tornado was, boop, boop, made a complete odd right turn. You understand? You might call it a coincidence, but it's the power of effectual prayer. It's the power of holding a consciousness. And that's the narrow gate. But few there are that find it because they don't understand it. They don't understand the spiritual laws. But you who have been called to this purpose and this time, it is for you to do grace and effort at this point in time and to be consistent with it so that your grace and your effort is going to lead to grace and ease. They say we only use 10% of the brain's power. See, I think the other 90% is spiritual power. And when we begin to tap into that, don't worry about the brain power, tap into spiritual power. And when we begin to do that, we're going to do things beyond our wildest imagination. It'll be powerful, friends. And so we have to do our part. We have to add our vibration. And don't be afraid of the narrow gate. Don't be afraid of the challenges and the difficulties that come. Because if you understand who you are and who the power of God is in you as it moves through you, a difficulty is nothing in the mind and presence of God. It's a blip, right? So we're not afraid of that. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the things will be added unto you. Everything that you need will be given unto you, but we've got to seek. We've got to go into that wonderful narrow gate and find the way, the abundant life, the God life, the good life. When I say good life, it's not about things and prosperity. All those things are going to come. But it's about the God presence and power that can work in your life to effect the changes that are needed for this world and for your life. So whatever you're faced with, whatever situation you're in, especially if it's a challenging one, ask yourself, what is the higher way here? What is the narrow gate that I have to walk through? Right? What is my higher choice right here? Not what's the easiest way, how can I get around this, or what can I do to overcome this? What's the way? What's the highway? What's the highway, God? What's this narrow gate that I'm going to walk through that will lead me to greater good? So we're not afraid of the difficult choices. We're choosing the way of spirit. We're choosing grace and effort because it leads to grace and ease. So I ask you, are you going to take the highway or the byway? It's up to you. Highway. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings and namaste. Blessings.